You're right, it's 6 o'clock.
We were told that when it says get remote, that means that somebody is actually accessing it. So we're asked, well, what are we supposed to do if we need to start this machine? No answer.
Is it on?
Ready, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah,
you're live.
I'd like to call the August 3rd, 2026 meeting of the WPCA to order. We'll begin with a pledge of allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Certainly.
Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Selle is absent. Commissioner Terry?
Here.
And Commissioner Sebelia?
Here.
Three present out of five. We have a quorum. The meeting continues. Are there any alterations to the agenda?
I would like to add something on the new business.
Okay.
I'd like to discuss a couple things about the first being, I want to look into, I'm not sure if I'm correct on this. Ron, maybe you can tell me, was there a presentation to the Planning and Zoning Department about going for a grant to look at the capacity and feasibility of expanding the plant?
It was under a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, yes.
Okay. I'd like to talk about that and hear a report from you about what that was all about.
I think it's recorded, too, so if we can get that for you as well. But yeah, I was here, so.
Okay. Okay. Because I think it's important at this point we talk about, there's been a lot of talk about capacity, mm-hmm. and where we stand as far as capacity and where we stand as capacity, which we've done some of the reports as far as projects we've got going. But I think development will continue in the town, and we've got to talk about how we're going to approach that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important,
yep.
because everything is in this, as you know, is long term. It's,
yep.
everything takes a long time. This isn't something we're going to solve overnight. So if we got to look at something, I think we need to start.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to add item two under new business for a capacity discussion. Is there a motion?
So moved.
You're a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. We add item two as a discussion for WPCA capacity. Are there any other alterations to the agenda? Thank you. Hearing none, we'll move on to a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of June 1st, 2026, as there was no meeting in July.
So I'll make the motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Any discussion of the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Item F, communications pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Are there any communications?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I brought one to your attention. There's going to be a meeting tomorrow morning with the town historian and members of the Cemetery Association about the Johnson Cemetery on Route 32. So that'll be at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you.
And you received your invite.
Are there any other communications to share? Thank you. Hearing none, item G, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a three-minute limit. Are there any remarks from the public? Second call, any remarks from the public? Third final call, any remarks from the public? Hearing none, moving on to item H, report from operations. Mr. Superintendent.
Yes, this is Superintendent Albertson. July was a very good month as far as process control. We had four reported significant storms that the state of Connecticut warned us about, the emergency response group. We had a storm on the 18th of July that was 4.75 inches in an overnight, and the credit to the team, the operators were able to keep process going and in no way adversely affect our effluent quality. We have on the agenda an approval item for a pump purchase, which we'll get into later. We used 3% less energy this July compared to last July. Doesn't sound like much, but it actually comes to about $4,000. It's 13,000 kilowatt hours less. Mostly that's related to putting air in the tanks. So again, credit to the operators for fine-tuning the dissolved oxygen requirements in the tanks. Getting back to the storm, the storms that I mentioned, July was the fourth wettest July in Connecticut's history. And a credit goes to, again, the operators for keeping process going. Electricity is the number one cost for the WPCA, and number two is solids. And solids are a consequence of wasting out the bugs to keep the proper bug-to-food ratio. And we had recently a lot of conversations with the Metropolitan District Commission about sticking to 150 dry tons per month, and we were able to do that again this month because the if we couldn't dispose them at the MDC, we'd have to ship them to New Jersey, and the cost would be significantly higher. We did an in-house pilot study for gravity thickening, and it was very successful. Credit to the lead operator, Marcel Antonini. He was able to, in-house, using existing equipment, raise our total solids from 5.5% to 7.5%. Unfortunately, it stunk. So we did get some odor complaints, so we shut it down. But we were able to gather data from a couple weeks of very successful thickening. That lowers the number of hauls. A truck haul is about $500. So we were very, very fortunate with that. We got the numbers for the general permit for total nitrogen removal. This is in addition to the federal permit, this is a state permit or a general permit associated with removing nitrogen from our effluent, because that a lot of nitrogen brings about algae blooms and low oxygen levels in the sound. And we were 50% under our limit, loading limit, so that's very good. One of the highest performing in the state of Connecticut. So very fortunate there. Ron mentioned the meeting tomorrow morning about the graveyard. And I wanted to also mention PURA. Last Wednesday finalized a decision permitting Eversource to collect $900 million more dollars from customers to cover repair costs associated with nearly a decade of storms. So unfortunately, that's probably going to lead to higher energy costs. Ron, in his wisdom, got us a fuel cell many years ago. Well, not many, probably 5 years ago. And we're running about 85% of our energy demand is coming out of that fuel cell. So that lowers our demand on Eversource. Another thing that happened recently was in Michigan, we had cyber attacks here in the homeland. Over 30 water utilities were affected by a third-party intrusion, primarily Iran. We do have double firewall scenarios, and so that we are compliant with CISA's regulations towards our protecting our utility. So we're very, very up to speed on that. And I think I have one more thing. During the storm events, one of the good things was we did studies from our largest two contributors. That would be Rand Whitney and Matua. Matua, I met with them Friday of last week. They initiated a very strong, very effective stormwater separation project at their Riverside loading dock, and that's up and running. And it was clear during this storm event that they are in no way contributing to our flow with stormwater. We also reviewed recent flow data from Rand Whitney, and we found that in two particular instances, it was related to their process and not stormwater. And that's it.
Thank you. Any questions for Superintendent?
Okay. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item I, report from the administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of my report is self-explanatory. I'll just reiterate a couple things that we're happy to have Will on board as of July 1st as a full-time employee. I mean, that was, again, a very success story initiated by Derek, you know, going into the schools and grabbing somebody out of a tech school and just bringing them up right through. And he's a complete asset. Everybody loves him. He's doing a great job down there for us. So we're real happy to have him fully on board. Second thing is we had a little glitch with our new software update that we went live with, tried to go live with on Friday. This is going to integrate our utility billing system so that people can go in and they can look at their utility bill online through the software interface, and they can set up auto pay now. And we're also charging back the convenience fee on the ATMs, I mean on the debit and credit cards that we've been eating for years, which I don't know how they were. I thought it was illegal, frankly, but so we're going to be able to capture that money again, so we're not losing that you know, a little percentage. But I mean, it adds up over the years. The state has also approved our bill for the manhole cover repairs on 32, so we'll finally get reimbursement. They reimburse about 60 cents on the dollar for those. But everybody's been very happy with the job that Prime Electric did for us on that. And the mayor's going to try to help us out with an administrative charge on that bill as well. The fuel cell, as Derek mentioned, though, is down right now. So and the guy couldn't get out here today to fix it because of the torrential downpours. So hopefully he'll be here tomorrow and we'll get that back up and running as well. Our water and sewer rates went into effect. They're all entered into the system. So those are in there as well. And, yeah, besides, if we just get out of these rain patterns, I think we'll be able to get ourselves out of the hole a little bit, catch up. I mean, poor Greg is trying to cut grass at the pump stations and in the plant, and he can't keep up. You know from your own homes, I'm sure. And I'll open it to any questions that you may have.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Any questions for the administrator?
I noticed the Meadows apartments.
So I thought that. I would go into that conversation with the grant thing with the capacity and all that.
Yep.
The question that I have is regarding the new software. How are we going to notify the ratepayers of this new capability?
It's on our interface on the website where they already go to pay online. It's already kind of there, pops up for them, so they know it, and it's on the billing, the paper billing that goes out to them as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Be good, because it'll save us postage also.
That's the hope.
So
postage is crazy.
At almost a dollar a stamp now.
And you have 5,000 bills you want to send out? Yeah. So a lot of people sign up for the e-bill, which is...
Right. So where to do it.
Yep. So we're trying to streamline all that.
What percentage are we looking at? 3?
I don't know where we're at with that. Again, we've kind of just... A lot of hiccups with it. So they spent 6 hours trying to get it live on Friday, and they finally got it live this morning.
Now, I was looking at the percentage of the rate that we're going to be charging for the convenience fee.
Oh, whatever the credit card companies charge, it gets passed on to them. So we don't see it. We don't care.
Yeah, no. But is it around 3? Do you know what it was?
I don't know. Every credit card company probably is a little different.
Yeah, that's what maybe you could...
I mean, we don't have a standard charge like the town hall has. You know, it's a minimum, whatever they got, 2.5%?
I think it's 2.5%, yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions for the mayor? Thank you. Moving on, report from the mayor. Mr. Mayor.
The only thing I got to say is I want to echo the superintendent's commending the operators for keeping the operation going during this heavy rain we've been having. If it weren't for them, we probably would be having a lot of violations. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item K, report from engineers. Mr. Superintendent.
Briefly. I want to indicate that we've been trying to pull back on a little bit of the engineering studies and doing them in-house. We did an in-house pilot study for gravity, for waste sludge thickening, dewatering. We also have a formal pilot study with some equipment coming in on August 17th. The commission is more than welcome to come down. It's a screw press apparatus that's on a trailer bed, and we're going to do a pilot study on at the plant to see if we can get from about 5.5% up to maybe 13% solids. And again, it's not, it doesn't sound like much, but it reduces the truck calls by half, and you're looking at between $10,000 and $20,000 a month in hauling costs. So again, commending the lead operator Marcel for helping put that in motion. Also, we've done polymer testing, it's called jar testing, in-house with different types of dewatering polymer to get the best polymer for dewatering of the sludge. The polymer is very unique because we have a kind of a strange sludge, but during the pilot study on August 17th through the 21st, we're actually going to try three different types of polymer and two different types of thickened sludge that goes into the apparatus. Also, we've done a significant number of flow studies in-house related to the storm events, and particularly looking at the potential for what part of the collection system is giving us problems. And this is something that I got to compliment our collections crew, Dennis and Will. They go out and check this. These type of things cost a lot of money, and a typical plant would have the engineers step in and do this. But people have stepped up and saved the commission a lot of money. Yeah. So we're lucky.
Okay. So there was something with the chlorine levels, too? What was that?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. We changed the chlorine dosing to be flow-based rather than residual-based. And long story short is from May 1st through October 31st, we have to disinfect our effluent and take samples to make sure that we're killing all of the organisms that would make people sick. And we use a lot of chlorine to do that, typically about 500 gallons to 600 gallons a day, 15% sodium hypochlorite. But our lead operator, Marcel, took it upon himself to examine the dosing, and he went to a flow-based dosing, which was part of the capital improvement plan, and it's been highly successful. Awesome. And that's saving us a significant amount of money on chlorine.
Any other questions? Moving on to old business, item L, we have none. New business, item M. The first is to consider an act on confirming the bid waiver for the replacement of the main effluent. Dean, would you read the motion, please?
The Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to consider and act to confirm the wavering of the sealed bid requirement in Section 708A of the Town Charter for the replacement of the main effluent pump number 1, as it is in the best interest of the town. There was a consensus approval by email communications that will be attached to the minutes of this meeting. The same pump will be purchased from Carlson Systems for $55,492.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There was a motion, a second, and now discussion. Mr. Superintendent and Mr. Administrator, would you talk us through how this came to be?
Yeah, one of the original goals when I first started in 2018 was replace the existing main pumps. So there's a pumping system or a pump station at the plant that delivers all of the wastewater from the town through the pretreatment, through the grit removal and the rag removal systems. And the existing three pumps were aged, and they weren't functional because they didn't allow rags to pass through, and they were clogging constantly. So, and it was a potential dangerous situation for the operators. They would have to reach in and unclog the main pumps. And credit to the mechanics, John and Kevin, they established a relationship with Carlson Systems, and we replaced pump number one and pump number two, and we rebuilt pump three in the configuration of the main pumping system. Carlson Systems came and supplied and installed the two pumps, and pump number one and pump number two have worked fantastic. So the replacement is for pump number one, and it's like to like. It's the same exact model of pump. And these pumps are better because they're pass-through pumps. So rather than getting ragged up and preventing flow and tripping out, they allow the rags to go from the pumping system through the deragging equipment. The pump number one was damaged, the impeller that draws the water in, and the volute, or the housing for the impeller. And I think it was related to a sand, about 21 yards, cubic yards of sand came through the system, and we have no idea where it came from. And I think, unfortunately, it damaged pump number one, the lead pump.
Okay, so the pump was damaged. Normally, we would have to approve that before you could do it. Correct me if I'm wrong, there was literally no time to get the commission together. It needed to be taken care of immediately.
Yeah, it's a critical piece of equipment. And everything, all the controls, all the electronics, everything is set up for that type of pump. So like-to-like replacement is really the key here. Particularly in a storm event like today, we had a couple times where the second pump came on because we had so much water coming into the system. Even though we don't have a lot of water, rainwater supposed to come into the system, when the water table rises up, it literally presses into the pipe. And each manhole with holes in it can add 16 gallons of water per hour. And we have 1,650 manholes. It was a little scary when that second pump came on because we didn't have a third position pump. So these are great pumps. They've been really good for us. I don't think it was damaged because the pump was inferior. I think it got damaged because we had the rocks and the sand coming through.
Mr. Administrator, would you speak to it now?
Sure. I would just say, timing-wise, this happened right after we had canceled the July meeting, thinking that we didn't need to have a meeting. And with the three-week minimum lead time to get that pump, we needed to get it ordered and as quickly as possible.
All right, so I would iterate that normally we would have to gather together in a meeting and approve, and there was literally no time to do that.
Correct, and another commission member had just resigned as well.
All right. So
it was to make sense, scramble to get an emergency meeting together or do it by email and confirm it at this meeting.
Right. So making sense out of what is in the motion is that because it was an emergency situation, we sort of talked back and forth through email and to make sure we understood what the situation was. And we reached a consensus that they should order the pump. Yeah, it was necessary to do that. The fallout from that is that technically it was a violation of FOIA, which is why we have to heal that with this motion to back up and approve that.
Yeah, correct. And I will provide Gloria tomorrow with the backup communications from everybody's emails. And this is just a matter of full transparency. We're not trying to hide something and blow something over to a contractor for a piece of equipment. It's a like for like, and again, the problem with this this particular business is everything is expensive and exceeds that threshold.
Okay.
It's hard.
Does anyone have any questions for the superintendent or the administrator?
I have just one. Do we have a storeroom with stock of any of critical equipment? Like,
lots
you think
of
we
it.
Should have
lots of it.
A pump? No, I mean a bigger items like this item. Should we have a pump in stock? What if we had a hurricane and we lost one of these? They're a lot of money, but they're not that much money if it goes down.
Well, to answer that question is, again, the chief mechanic and chief inspector, John Lilly and Kevin Loyler, they initiated anytime something breaks, they have it rebuilt and they store it.
I'm just thinking about timeline crunches. I'm talking about only critical pumps that could bring us down or that could really hurt us severely, because Mohegan Sun, Corrigan, all those, we can't afford to lose our system for any length of time.
No, we.
So I was just wondering if we. I didn't know what the policy is.
Sir, we do. We keep a lot, and we have a contract with a company called HESCO. The old Hartford Equipment Service Company, mm-hmm. and we keep like 3,000 parts in stock. That we pay them $3,200 a month to keep everything upgraded in there, so that and it's controllers and it's modules and okay. there's a lot of things besides the big pumps and heavy
yep.
duty equipment.
Yep.
But the problem is also the supply chain got so disrupted after COVID that we can't even keep things around or get them.
Yeah.
In a lot of respects. And now we're still getting, and I'm not throwing it to a politics in it or whatever, but the tariff charges on everything that are insane. Mm-hmm. It's adding percentages to the cost that we didn't even anticipate.
To the superintendent's
and the fuel costs with freight and everything else now.
Yeah. To the superintendent's comment a couple minutes ago, when the new pump is slid in place, will this pump be rebuilt and
yes.
stored?
Exactly, and that's
along.
Yes, Commissioner Terry, to answer your question, this is looking forward, and that's what's so amazing about these guys is they learn their lesson. If a lesson's being learned, and they move forward, and they'll have that pump ready to go. But these pumps are relatively new. We didn't expect this at all. We still don't know where that sand came from. We thought for sure we'd see a collapse in a road somewhere. There was that much material.
I think it had to be dumped into the system. Somebody dumped it somewhere, somehow.
Mm. And it just beat up that pump because it was in the primary position, and it just received all that. It's like sandblasting. Mm. So, and as soon as it came, it left. Very strange.
Mm. All right, so the pump, when it's pulled out, will be rebuilt and placed in storage to be used in another situation like this, if necessary.
Okay. We need it.
So we have a motion, a second, discussion. Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Mayor.
Commissioner Sebelia.
Favor.
Commissioner Longton.
Favor.
Commissioner Terry.
Favor.
Motion carries. Thank you very much.
I almost said here.
Moving on to item two for a discussion of WPCA capacity. Dean, would you please start us off?
Well, as we know, we've talked about it over the last few meetings about our capacity and where we stand based on the projects we've got going on in the town right now. So I'm concerned that we need to provide a solid number so we know exactly where we are. Then I think we need to talk about what our long-term plan is for growing the plant. Where do we need to expand, and how would we do that, where would we do that, and what the cost would be to do that. So I think we need to form some sort of study or hire an organization to come in and take a look at our facilities and make recommendations saying, well, our projections are that in the next 10 years or next 20 years, the town is expected to expand this far. And in order to do that, you're going to need to do this, this, and this. So That and the capacity that I understand planning and zoning discussed, because they're very concerned about the capacity, because that affects them and how they can approve things. So I wanted to hear from the administrator as to, I understand that they applied for a grant to look at that, and I was wanted him to expand on that.
Sure. So as part of this Meadows discussion and then looking in, when they were able to, the mayor, I don't know who originally reached out to whom again, but the mayor can edify that as to do it. The USDA came in and said, look, we want to be able to give some money to the town to get these hookups and to do some improvements and expand capacity. So in order to do it, there's really two components to it. There's flow capacity, and then there's BOD capacity. And those are the two critical elements. There's been some disagreement on what is what as far as how much BOD load we have and what we can do and how much flow capacity we have and what we can do. So as part of the Meadows grant application, they have Dennis and Derek and I have kind of rolled a component in there to do a study of what is the capacity at the plant and where do we need to go. But it's going to be very high level at this original grant level because there's not a ton of money in this PER grant, which is the grant to go for the other grant and loan process for the Meadows. So they're going to be looking at what can the Meadows do besides hooking into the sewer system. Can they do on-site treatment or not? Or is their only option really to hook into the sewer, and then what's that going to cost, and do that kind of engineering analysis and see what we're going to need to do. And part of that is going to be our capacity part of it. So as this dovetails into the next segment of the grant process, I think we're going to get a high-level idea of where we are, and then we're going to be able to move on from there and make some decisions on how we proceed with expansion of the capacity of the plant.
So is it fair to say that the preliminary steps have already been taken that are the concern of Dean's comment?
Yeah, and I think when you see the grant application, if you have not yet, Commissioner, they're talking about geotechnical borings. They're talking about, you know, land acquisition possibilities around the plant. Where would we could expand? How we would expand? What it would really take? And, you know, what are going to be the real future needs? But again, if it's only a $60,000 grant at this point, I think we're going to get a very, very high level, you know, 60,000 foot view. We're not going to get the, you know, on the ground view. So this will enable us to then take a look and say, okay, this is the data that we have. Where do we go from here? And this is going out to bid. This was not going to be sole source to CLA Engineering. This was not going to be sole source to Wright Pierce Engineering. So CLA is the town engineers. Wright Pierce is our on-call engineers. It's going out to bid, and we're going to see who comes in and can give us the best data.
What do you think the cost would be to do a complete study on that plant? Do you have any idea?
I could not even begin to estimate that. I can't even tell you what gas is going to cost me tomorrow. Okay. I mean, not to be a wise guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the cost of everything is going so out of control that for a complete full engineering analysis of what it would take to figure out the build out of the plant, what we even need, I couldn't begin to tell you.
So this
it's going to be expensive though. Mm.
Yeah, so this study needs to be complete in order to inform the one that he wants.
I think this is the first step. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we already got this done.
Kind of give us an overall view.
And then
we really. But do you agree that we need to take a look at this?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to think I was speaking out of turn.
Oh, no, not at all. No, not at all.
That we, you know, that we have to take a look at the facility and see where we're going to grow. How long would it take to if to say we want to expand? That's 5 years to do by the time you get permits and
easily.
So it's a long-term process, certainly something and we don't want to put off to the last minute.
And in my former life, we were talking about regionalization of these services, like we were doing regionalization of water services and you know all kinds of other services. And they wanted to try to hook in other towns into, because they don't want to build new treatment plants anywhere.
Right.
And where do you discharge? You have to have certain discharge points that are going to be added.
So they're talking about being the towns hooking it, making a basically a countywide type of sewer system where we would decide into London.
I don't think we're going to get there. I don't think we're going to get there, Commissioner. But there was talk of that at one time when we were doing the WUC process, the Water Utility Coordinating Committee process. Mm-hmm. Senator Austin, because of the problems in Sprague and Franklin and some other areas, she was trying to get that to kind of go in the same direction as coordinating all those kinds of water services and ESAs for water into the sewer capacity system too. And they were really looking to Norwich because Norwich was had the biggest capacity at that point.
Is there typically grant money or is there any state or federal money available when you do plant expansions?
See, you know what? They always told me no, and now they're saying, yeah, we're willing to throw money at you. I mean, I can't tell you. And Superintendent and I have asked and talked to everybody and knocked on doors and called people in my former capacity. I did the same thing. Nope. There's no money available for that. Now they're saying there is money. And not only that, but if we have a solid plan, then you can go and get back into the Clean Water Fund projects pot of money, which comes from the USDA, and you can go for targeted grants from the legislature. You know, get a special bond issue.
Right.
I mean, everybody else gets it. Norwich gets zillions of dollars.
That's why we should move on it so that money doesn't disappear.
No, let me just add, this is the mayor speaking. This whole thing started with the property owner from the Meadows paid me a visit, and coincidentally, the following week, I was invited to a luncheon with the new district manager for USDA. It covers Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. And I threw it out there. You know, they're talking about grants and funding and bonds and loans. And I said, we're not interested in a loan, but we are interested in grants. Is there any money out for this? And I described the Meadows to him. He said that he believed there was, and he hooked me up with somebody. And I arranged a conversation with him. And next thing you know, we're looking at this. And the good thing about this study grant is it's a match. There's a 25% match.
20%.
Which the property owner is going to cover for us. So that's when we figure we throw in these extra steps to take advantage of the entire thing, and it's not going to cost us anything. And I've been led to believe that as far as our upgrade that we anticipate is going to be needed with the plant, that there could be money out there, and this would be the first step in that direction.
Good.
And you know, politics is cyclical. So for years, because the USDA was headquartered in Massachusetts, they were getting all the money. They weren't pushing any money to Connecticut.
Oh.
And now, you know, they realized that, you know, really, Connecticut has been shortchanged on a lot of its projects. And Brooklyn has now gotten some money. So we're hopeful that, you know, if we get through this planning process, get through this initial grant, figure out where we are. It's, I think, due in March, final report will be due in March of 2027, and we'll be able to then, at that point, look at what that tells us and then move forward from there.
Okay. I just want to add to Ron and I have talked to the Connecticut Rural Water Association, and they Connecticut hadn't received any USDA money in a long time. And the Jeff, who we spoke to there, was able to work with the town of Brooklyn and procure money through the USDA. So there is, it's really happening. Because most people used to say,
Killingley's going to go for some, Brooklyn's getting some, and we're in the queue. But But we'll, once Dennis completes the application, he's got to be close with it, because we've spent hundreds of hours on this between the staff time. It's pretty close to the submission, and you'll see exactly what the parameters are of the study and what it's going to provide us. Well, that's a good starting point.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to add that, you know, a lot of times with the grants, the money's there. It's the person who's in line first with some kind of engineering report that defines the need is really brought to the front of the line. So this would be, I can't overstate this type of, you know, even though it's treetop level, it will be extremely helpful.
What, one last question, just about the meadows that we worked that up. How desperate is their situation, or how dire is their situation?
It's not death level critical at this point. I think, you know, they probably got a couple years in them. And it's going to take a couple years to get this built out anyway, even if we did it, even if we had the money today to engineer it and build
everything
it out.
Yeah, and they are pumping monthly. They're required to, they have to pump it. And their fear, naturally, because of the age of the system itself. They have 36 different systems in there?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. When it happens, it's going to be too late. That's what it comes down to.
I'm not aware that they're under any state order or the local Uncas Health District order to do anything.
Thank you. Moving on to item N, reports, referrals, and planning and zoning. I have no report to offer tonight. Moving on to section 2, Water Commission. A, report from the operations.
Yes, some good news. Because of the efforts, continual efforts of both water operators, the required monitoring for lead and copper has been decreased. That shows compliance with regulations, but also shows the water operators doing their job effectively and documenting all sampling and sampling well under the action levels.
Any questions for operations? No. Item B, report from administration. Mr. Administrator.
Yeah, I'll just add that we did have one lead exceedance on a property nearby, and it's their faucet that is the problem, because it's an old faucet that has lead in it. So we had to buy them a new faucet and change it out for them, which was probably the easiest fix, but it got us out of the compliance levels that we had to do. So, you know, $70 at Home Depot finally when the faucet came. Could save us a ton of dough down the road. And that's how good these guys are.
Questions for Administrator? Hearing none, item C, report from engineers.
Yes, right now we're working on the updating the water plan. We met with Land and Water, and we're looking forward to the third meeting. Basically, it's transfer of data and information. He's established, the engineer's established a portal, and he needs to get a bunch of information from us, kind of massage it, and then give it back to us for review, and so it's in process.
Questions? Yep. Item D, old business, we have none. Item E, new business, we have none. Item F, reports from SQUAW. There was a meeting. I was not able to attend it. It was an online meeting, and my internet was down. I could not attend. So, and I have since asked them to send me the minutes of the meeting so I could report here. I have not yet received that. So, Section 3, remarks. A, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit. Are there any remarks from the public? Second call, any remarks from the public? Third and final call and remarks from the public. Hearing none, item B, remarks from commission members. Dean.
No remarks. I think I said everything I had to say.
Nick.
No, just thank you guys for all the information. I'm glad you brought that up with the capacity, and it seems like we're looking at it, so it's awesome.
And I have nothing either, so I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at
6:45.
Come again?
All righty.
I think that's with me. I'm done messing with you.
Jordan Street.
You know you're on the dog.
Short Street?
Always, honey. Always.
You know that, right?